Blog Talk Radio. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of the 4-Scenes Fire American Soccer Show. As we talk about what happened last Friday in Zurich in Switzerland, Gianni Infantino is the brand new president of FIFA, and great coverage from Fox Sports from start to finish covering this massive, massive presidential election for this game, and hopefully positive things are going to start moving forward. Joining me from that great coverage of Fox Sports, it was Rob Stone. Rob, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it, and welcome to the show.
You're welcome, Daniel. Anytime.
All right. You know, I think like we said already on air, it's like it's amazing to see all these countries all around the globe having a say in who should be running the global game, who should be running this game, and they picked after two rounds a majority vote of Gianni Infantino, the former Secretary General of UEFA. What does that mean for the game and yourself personally, seeing all of this unfolding in front of your eyes?
Well, you know, it was an incredible event and, you know, kind of uncharted territories for a lot of people, including us at Fox. You know, there's so many unknowns with FIFA whenever they're really involved with anything these days. So you're always kind of holding your breath and waiting for the next curveball. But I think it played fairly true to form outside of, you know, the Sunil Gulati working the floor activities in between the first and second vote. You know, I think it's a good day. I hope it's a good day for international soccer. I'm not sure it could get any worse, but, you know, be careful what you say. But, you know, just like what we're going through, Daniel, here in our country right now, there's a lot of words out there with presidential candidates, but the people need to see action, and I think the sooner we see some form of action from Infantino, we can start to understand a little bit better what his reign is going to be all about. But all in all, I think it is a good thing. I think we are going in the right direction. I think people fully realize that change is necessary and had to happen finally, and I think Infantino is in a position to really make a major impact on this game, and hopefully that impact is in a positive way.
I absolutely agree. I mean, great work by U.S. Soccer President Sunil Gulati working that floor. Obviously, there was a game plan. You know, I mean, Prince Ali, Al Hussein was a great candidate as well. Obviously, great support from Sunil Gulati towards him. But at the end of the day, the right move, I believe, was made. No offense to Prince Ali. You know, I thought he was a pretty good candidate. But I think Infantino is more respected around the world game, especially what he's done with UEFA for these last many, many years.
Well, he's certainly respected in European circles. But, you know, a lot of people here in the United States as well forget that, you know, this is a global game. It's not just what happens in your England's and Spain's and Italy's and France and Germany's of the world. You know, what about Asia? What about Africa? And, you know, I think there was a real groundswell of energy to say, you know, we need some proper representation as well. I'm not sure, you know, their leading candidate was maybe the best figure to represent them on an international scope. But, you know, we have kind of this closed-minded approach on a lot of things here in our country and in Europe as well, where, you know, we're right, we're big, we're strong, and, you know, Africa and Asia, just, you know, Caribbean, just follow our path. We'll lead you down the right way. And, you know, I think that sentiment is going away, and it should be. You know, we need to listen to everybody's concerns, and it's something you and I talked about, Daniel, before we came on, that, you know, the 207 countries voting, but, you know, the Cayman Islands has different concerns than the United States. The U.S. Virgin Islands has different concerns than the United States. It's crazy to think that, you know, all those countries, their vote counts to the same level that a Russia or an England or Germany would count. But that's the beauty of this, because everybody has their own needs. And I think some of that leads to the issues we've had in FIFA. Some of these countries' needs are just flat out money. And if they can get a handout, they don't care who the candidate is. They're going to take that handout. They're going to be greedy and selfish. So hopefully that era is over and we move on to a much more unified focus in international soccer.
Obviously, that fateful day at that fancy hotel in Zurich, you know, I remember you were that night last year in May, you know, you tweeted something, something's going on in that hotel. And I'm like, oh, I got to get on this because if you're on it, I got to get on it. And I was like, I couldn't believe what was going on. And, you know, you turn on the international channels like BBC World News that as well as Fox Sports and other channels that, you know, all these soccer delegates from CONCACAF, from FIFA, from UEFA maybe as well, and CONMEBOL, they're being arrested on these scandals, on these financial scandal charges. And it's just been unbelievable what the long arm of the American law has done here. What did you think right off the bat when this whole thing got started last May?
That's going to be a hell of a movie. That's my first thought, that this is going to continue. This is going to be a while before this is all sorted out. But the drama and the theatrics around it, the visuals, you know, it's almost a sensory overload, and it's made for Hollywood. You know, I can see John Goodman right now playing Chuck Blazer and riding around the streets of Manhattan in his scooter with his dogs by his side and the FBI pursuing him. I mean, they've just become kind of a character of themselves. I'll be honest, you know, I really thought there was going to be more activity ahead of this presidential election. You know, all these major personalities coming together in one town. You know, I had this dream the night before where, you know, once all the delegates were in and everybody's sitting down, that U.S. forces and Swiss forces pretty much just lock up all the doors and the catering tent turns into a processing tent. And it was just going to be a complete train wreck of police type activity. I'm glad it didn't happen. But, you know, if there are more people out there, and I know there are, I'd like to see them get wrapped up, get them out of this game so we can all move on in a positive fashion quicker than normal.
John Goodman needs to talk to Donald Trump by borrowing an apartment in the Trump Tower and having a couple of cats.
That can be arranged. That can be arranged.
Man, you know, I have to tell you, you know, you, Alexi Lalas, and your other members of the panel covering this massive FIFA presidential election was absolutely fantastic. It's just amazing to see how long you guys went. Obviously, you had to go from Fox Sports 1 to Fox Sports 2 to continue the coverage because we know that Fox has other sports to control as well, to broadcast at the same time. Just how grueling of a moment was that for you? And, you know, was there coffee by the side? Did you have some Gatorade on the side? You know, it was just amazing what you guys were doing for, like, what, 13, 14 hours straight?
Yeah, well, we were on the air a little over 11 hours. We were there in the building for a little over 13 hours. You know, we had all kind of thought out what we need to do and, you know, try to manage our sleep in a different pattern leading up to it. You know, I had a couple Red Bulls in the refrigerator nearby. You know, we had catering with some sandwiches roll in around, you know, 2:30, 3 a.m. Pacific time. It was basically just kind of maintaining that blood sugar level so you just don't drop and fight through it. And, you know, thankfully our Sunil cam, you know, following Sunil Gulati on the floor, really essentially kept us going and bought us hours of talking points and visuals. And it was remarkable to watch him do what he was doing, and it kept us going as well. You know, there were the only real dip in our energy was when the election was over and we had decided to stick around until Infantino met with the press and we were given a time when he would do it and everybody was waiting and we had stalled and tap danced till that point. And then they ended up being about 35 minutes late. So we had pretty much unloaded everything. And then we essentially had to find another way to continue to fill up network time for 35 straight minutes without a commercial break. That was the grueling part. That was the moment where everybody just kind of wanted to just put their head down for a second and just let the guy talk. You know, can you please just get him out or is there anything else we can go to? And we couldn't. We were locked there because we didn't know at what moment he was going to come out. So there were no commercials, no bathroom breaks, Just a lot of recycled conversation. So that was the real tough stretch of the day. And you know, I had scripted maybe 3 to 4 minutes right off the top because I knew some of the elements. And after that, for everybody, it was just here we go, just hold hands and we're in this one together.
Stoner, the next time that happens, please tell your Fox higher uppers to give me a call and I'll save you. I'll bail you out.
Come on,
man.
Down.
But boy, you know, it just to, you know, all these things that happened, all these things that just popped out of the blue, and you know, Blatter obviously, he'll never stop talking. He keeps on talking. But let me ask you this about Gianni Infantino. Isn't it amazing that if Michel Platini, who you interviewed him when he came to the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, isn't it funny how if he does not get involved in that bribery or that strange payment, that Gianni Infantino doesn't throw his hat in the ring? Isn't that interesting to see that?
Yeah, but you know, Platini's your president at this point. You know, I think that was a vindictive Sepp Blatter. I think there had been some growing tension between Platini and Blatter, and I think Blatter pretty much said, if I'm going down, guess who's coming with me. So, I mean, here's a guy that 5 months ago wasn't even in the running, wasn't even considered, wasn't even the name that a whole lot of people were familiar with, and now he's president of, you know, the largest athletic body in the world, if you ask me. You know, the World Cup, FIFA, soccer, it's surpassed the Olympics. It's bigger. It's broader. It's more impactful. So we got a guy, a reluctant president. And that may not be a bad thing. You know, I think a guy who doesn't want that limelight is fine. Let's just do your work, please. You know your job, know your role, and do it. And, you know, I think Sepp Blatter got to the point where he got a little too caught up in who he was and who he believed he was, you know, making movies about FIFA and just blowing more millions here and there. So, you know, just a massive ego that cannot be contained. And I get the early sense, at least, that Infantino is not that type of guy.
Well, let's hope so. And hopefully he'll put, and like you said, it's in a new direction, and hopefully it will go very well. Let's go to CONCACAF matters. Obviously, we've been through the Jack Warner era. Jeffrey Webb took over after Jack Warner got himself into trouble with Sepp Blatter. And he made some pretty good reforms, I thought, at first. But then when you found out that he was a part of this scandal, how disappointed were you? Because I was very disappointed that Jeffrey Webb was a part of this.
Yeah, well, it felt like that was a rather quick decision, a rush to judgment there to just put him in. You know, I don't think the people in charge of making that decision were really fully aware of everything that had gone down and transpired, and they certainly, you know, didn't do enough background checks to understand just, you know, how bad he was, if not maybe even worse. So, you know, it's certainly an embarrassment. It hasn't gotten enough play, to be honest with you. You know, our region of the world is one of the most corrupt, without a doubt. And, you know, we need some people to clean it up, but, you know, there's, you know, in CONCACAF, there's really just, you know, kind of three big countries, you know, with the Canada, Mexico, and the United States, and then some smaller countries that are still very, very important, but, you know, that have their own issues built in more so than those three that I named, and I think are maybe a little more susceptible to not playing as clean of a game as can be out there. But look, you know, Chuck Blazer has proven as well that, you know, Americans are not above this. Right. And there's a lot that needs to be cleaned up. I give them credit that at least they're going into things slower now. You know, this whole coming together in a unification type deal with CONMEBOL at the Copa America this summer. You know, there was great, great hesitation, rightfully so, on a lot of parts and a lot of parties. And, you know, they were able to kind of clear out some of the murkiness of it before they went forward and made sure everything was on the up and up. So I like the fact that at least now they're slowing down and really kind of vetting through the personalities, through the issues, through the contracts, and saying, is this good? Is this the right thing? What is this going to do for us? Is this going to lead to issues down the road? So I think CONCACAF is on the right road. Long way to go, though. Same with FIFA. You know, international soccer is not there by any stretch because one gentleman was voted in as president.
Absolutely. So let me throw out a hypothetical, and I'm going to aim it at you because your buddy, Grant Wall, once tried a FIFA presidential campaign. What would Rob Stone do if that moment or that opportunity came towards him? What would you do, Rob, to become a presidential candidate for the world game?
Well, number one, I'd be smart enough not to run. I don't like losing, and I'm not going to win that candidacy. You know, but I would think big and bold. What is CONCACAF, right? Go. You ask the normal person here at the grocery store what CONCACAF is, they're going to look at you and hit you and think maybe that, you know, you just swore at them. So you need to kind of maybe rebrand yourself, remarket yourself. You know, nobody knows what the hell CONCACAF is outside of the soccer nerds. And I'm obviously one of them. So you need to maybe change your logo, change your brand, be involved in things that are more on the up and up and pleasing to people. You know, even this gold cup, you know, I think can be rejiggered a little bit and make it a little more sensible and understandable for the average fan out there. I mean, I work with some really intelligent executives and producers at Fox Sports. And, you know, because I work with basketball and football, I'll get a lot of those guys who don't know soccer, and they're asking me, like, okay, help me out here. What is this tournament? You know, what does that mean? What's going on over there? What value is that? What does this game mean? And soccer is confusing. And if you're trying to bring in more people, which we certainly are, I think you need to kind of find a way to simplify the language and simplify the understanding. I don't know if that can happen, because there's just so much damn soccer over there. I mean, I love the game, but I am legitimately concerned that there might be an overload and too much out there for the average fan. You know, the days of all the European clubs coming over here for the summer, I think, have grown kind of tired. I think we've, as Americans, have just become accustomed to it, and it's no longer all that thrilling when Bayern Munich announces that they're going to come here in the summer to train. It's sort of like, well, of course you are. You all the big clubs come here, you know, and we've become spoiled. And I think we almost need a break. We need to kind of recharge our soccer batteries, because it's just so much out there, and it's so confusing. And it's, you know, I'm watching, you know, the Mexican League, and now MLS starts this weekend, and, you know, World Cup qualifying is right around the corner, and I'm already getting ready for Copa America. But I know, you know, how important Russia 2018 is, and, you know, it's insane. It's just a lot to keep track of. For the soccer junkie, you know, it's fantastic, but I want to make sure that these events still carry some cachet. I feel like it's just constant soccer tournaments and people just trying to make money and bleeding these players dry with more and more games, when these guys need a break. They need a rest. They need to have that passion and that love for the game. And I think the fan does too, when they can just see a game at any moment, at any time, year round. I worry that there might just be a little burnout effect.
Yeah, very true. Okay, Rob, thank you very much for your time. Once again, we've got UEFA Champions League rounding up here. CONCACAF Champions League, unfortunately, and Major League Soccer sides are all gone. Eliminated by Liga MX sides. You got the FA Cup finishing up and the Copa America Centenario Tournament this summer. It's going to be great. Great job again on the coverage of this FIFA presidential candidacy of election of Gianni Infantino. Rob, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate it, and hope to have you back on again soon.
You got it. Thanks for the invite.
No problem at all. Rob Stone, everybody. Fox Sports 1 and 2. Coverage of Major League Soccer, the UEFA Champions League, the FA Cup, as well as, of course, with Ian Joy. He's covering the Bundesliga on Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, Fox Soccer Plus. Everything going on in this game that we all love so much. And you know what? Let me just say this. As I wanted to throw my hat in the ring here discussing this with everybody, you know, all we've known, or at least all I have known about Gianni Infantino, is this. The man that runs the competitions for both the UEFA Champions League for the draws, for the Europa League draws, for the preliminary draw for the European Cup, and the final draw of the European Cup. Anything and everything UEFA. That is all I knew about Gianni Infantino, what he has done, and reading everything that he has done at UEFA to make them, let's be honest, not just more popular, but at the same time, financially better, financially sound. It was absolutely amazing to see what this man has done. An Italian man born in Switzerland, his family is Italian. I mean, look at the languages he can speak, not just English, obviously Italian, French, Portuguese, German, Spanish. I mean, if this is a man that is not talented enough in talking to those different countries that needs an explanation in their own language, and I bet he would probably learn the different languages from Africa and from Asia. You would have to say that this is a man that is probably perfect for the position, and it's almost going to be a full week of him running the world game. And, you know, let me just say this. It's not just what he has done within this 1 week. It's going to be what he's going to do in his first four-year term as president of the world game here. And we need to give this man an opportunity. We have to give this man an opportunity, because if we don't give this man an opportunity, then it's not going to work, because then you're going to be begging for someone else to take over, and it's going to be too late. Here is the thing. And the only reason why I believe all this corruption happened in the United States, up and down the Americas, is that while we all know about what goes on in South America, and it's all crazed football there as well, but here in this country, there is still, and you can disagree with me on this, you might agree with me on this, there is still half of the population that does not care about this game. There is still half of the population that probably just doesn't care, doesn't want to be a part of it. And basically, when the popularity was starting to come back since the NASL days, this is why I think it was easy for all this corruption to happen. I think this was easy enough to discuss at the same time to not so much infiltrate, but to create all of these illegal money-making schemes. And they just got too big for their own britches. And isn't it funny? And watching the 60 Minutes episode of what happened, one man, in Chuck Blazer, not filing his taxes and being charged with tax evasion, That is the situation that we have here, folks. That is the situation that is the reason why we have come to this. It's just been amazing, just been interesting. It's just been unbelievable to see that one little law that was broken by Chuck Blazer that got everyone on board to make this happen. And you know what? Let me just say this. If this is what it took, then for goodness sakes, that's great. That's absolutely fantastic, because now we're seeing change in the game. And we're seeing now reforms being adopted. Even though it was strange to see 11 countries saying they don't want to make reform changes, it's just been amazing to see this. And, you know, great job by U.S. Soccer President Sunil Gulati, because you know what? Since he joined the executive committee, which is no longer an executive committee, but it's just an executive roundtable of some sort, to get rid of all this secrecy, to get rid of all of this shenanigans that's been going on, I believe that it's just been absolutely fantastic to see him working the floor, and getting people to say, we're going to change our votes. We're going to go to Gianni Infantino instead of Prince Ali bin al-Hussein. And like I've already said, I thought he was a good candidate. I really thought Prince Ali was going to be a very, very strong candidate for being president of FIFA. Unfortunately, others didn't see it. And once again, Sunil Gulati in action on that floor, working it, getting people to say, okay, second round, we're going to go with Gianni Infantino. And even he said to both Kate Abdo and Grant Wall from Fox Sports, you know, just been unbelievable, unbelievable what's been going on. And it's just been great. Just been great to see what's been happening here, what's been going on. And all you can say is the right thing has finally happened. We have no more worries about a ballot paper with just Sepp Blatter near a checkbox. And there is no one else on the paper below it. And what you can say is this, is that for FIFA, the positives are now going forward. They are now going forward. And reforms have happened. And it's just been absolutely fantastic to see what's been going on here with FIFA. Now, CONCACAF is going to get some form of reform. CONMEBOL is going to get some form of reform. And you know what? I am very happy. Very, very happy that we have seen these moments come to fruition. We're seeing these moments come to fruition, and it's absolutely fantastic to see this. Now, we just have to look and see what's going to happen when we get there. And you know what? The one question I should have asked Rob, but, you know, he wasn't in Zurich when this was going on. You know, Commissioner Don Garber casted the ballot vote representing the U.S. Soccer Federation, representing the game in the United States. Obviously, somebody could not cast a vote because he is a member of that executive committee. So obviously the next best person to do that vote would be Commissioner of Major League Soccer and Don Garber. So Don, I wonder if that was exciting for him. I wonder if that was a wonderful moment in his life to be a part of this, because that is something that, you know, I don't know if I could ever do anything like this. I mean, all I want is to, you know, be live at a possible U.S. Open Cup draw, you know? I mean, look, I was fortunate enough this past February to be credentialed and watch this Copa America Centenario draw. I was ecstatic. I couldn't believe that I was at the Hammerstein Ballroom being involved in that draw, and not so much being involved, but at least watching it from my vantage point to see greats from the United States, like Alexi Lalas was, like Jorge Campos was from Mexico, Carlos Valderrama of Colombia, Mario Kempes of Argentina. You know, those four legends of the game putting their hands in those pots, pulling out a ball one at a time, and then, of course, the other side of placement of which groups they're going to go to. So that was interesting. That was a lot of fun. And you got to tell you guys, I enjoyed it. It was wonderful. It was a great night. To be involved in a draw, I mean, one day you'd love to be involved again, like maybe a FIFA World Cup final draw or a preliminary draw to see, you know, where they're going to be placed in which groups, and either in your own confederation for qualifying or the actual World Cup group that you're going to be playing in the summer of 2018. That's what I would love to be a part of. That's what I would like to do if I ever get that opportunity again, because, you know, that was a lot of fun. I was enjoying it. It was a great time, and I really hope, you know, the people that have been covering this, you know, they're enjoying it too. Well, my next guest could not come on live today. That's why we recorded this segment last night. My good friend, of course, as you know, Carter Krishnayer from World Soccer Talk. We need to get his opinions about this whole situation with Gianni Infantino. So here he is right now. In a taped interview, my good friend Kartik Krishnayer on this special report on the brand new FIFA president, Gianni Infantino.
And welcome back to this special report, this special edition of the Four Scenes Fire American Soccer Show, as we are talking about the brand new era of FIFA as former UEFA Secretary General Gianni Infantino is now the president of FIFA. And joining me to discuss this is my good friend Kartik Krishnayer from World Soccer Talk. Kartik, you know, I think we can officially say this. It's a brand new day at FIFA. It is a wonderful day at FIFA as the voting numbers were in and Gianni Infantino is now the president of FIFA. That happened last Friday.
Yeah, and it was probably the right result given who it came down to. Who the two finalists were, so to speak, between Infantino and Sheikh Salman. But there's still a lot of questions going forward. And I have to say the 40-team World Cup is a thing that's logistically going to be very difficult, given that we already have too many fixtures, too many games. The Euros now going to 24 teams or a week longer. It's almost like there's no off-season in the club season. And it's, for leagues like MLS, would like to play through who play through the summer in NASL and USL or with leagues in the U.S. really complicates having these bigger tournaments. So I'm not wild about that. UEFA has been, from a commercial standpoint and ethical standpoint, probably straighter than FIFA. However, there's still a lot of question marks, particularly about Infantino's relationship with Platini, who has now been discredited.
Absolutely, Kartik, and you have every right to be concerned, but let me say this, and maybe this is advantage Infantino, because if Platini was not suspended by FIFA for years, now it's been reduced to six with him and Blatter, but still, if Platini wasn't discredited, maybe Infantino does not put his hat in the ring and goes for the FIFA presidency, because it sounds like through respect, I guess, working with Michel Platini at UEFA, that Gianni would not even consider becoming president of FIFA. And once Platini was forced out of the running, he just took his chance. And I think, I think Gianni Infantino is a great person to make that opportunity happen.
Yeah, but he certainly is less questionable than Platini. Platini had a lot of odd associations, and of course, they voted for Qatar for the World Cup, and a lot of people who don't like UEFA financial fair play, which was concocted under Platini's stewardship, UEFA FFP at the club level, I should mention. That's not an international, that's a club thing. However, what I think is fairly obvious, if you're really objective about things, is that UEFA has been a commercial success, and Infantino has been a big part of that. And he's a guy who speaks multiple languages, very cosmopolitan, knows the game of football. So it's in better hands than it would have been under Sheikh Salman. Understands the role of women's football, that's important for us in the United States. All of those things. That having been said, the only candidate that was running and was willing to repudiate Sepp Blatter and willing to offer real reforms, what I consider real reforms, was Prince Ali. I'm pleased the United States backed him. I'm disappointed that the that so many other countries that talk about reforming the game didn't back him. So that was very disappointing. He would have been my choice. And I'm glad Sunil Gulati cast the ballot, or actually John Garber casting the ballot for him on that first round. But so there's questions about Infantino.
Yeah, true. I will say this, though, and I agree with you. You know, Prince Ali definitely would have been a great candidate and a great president if he did get the votes. And that's the only thing that was the big question mark. Was Prince Ali going to get the votes? Because, you know, I don't know.
There's some theory that the U.S. cost them votes because there's so much anger in some of these third world countries about the U.S. And the investigation and the DOJ, that any chance Prince Ali had of getting votes out of the rest of CONCACAF, out of CFU, and out of South America, where there's a lot of anti-Americanism right now in this sport. There's a lot of anti-Americanism in general, but especially now in the sport. That there might be a situation where they, if they were considering Prince Ali, decided they weren't going to back him because he was a candidate that the U.S. was backing. In all likelihood, that's not true. In all likelihood, he wasn't going to get backed anyway. So,
yeah.
So we'll see.
So we'll see.
But I think he would have been the best bet. But Infantino is certainly better than Sheikh Salman, as I've said over and over again.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. I mean, look, we're not going to get into the whole, you know, what happened in Bahrain, obviously, and what happened to their captain, obviously, abducted by the royal police and the royal family.
Yeah, that's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, it was disgusting. It really is.
They were very close to qualifying for the World Cup twice, as you know. You and I covered that playoff that they had against New Zealand.
Yep.
In 2009 to go into the 2010 World Cup. And, you know, some of the heroes of that team were beaten and abducted. And, I mean, it's just terrible stuff.
It really is.
Don't toe the line politically there. That's what happened.
Yep, it really is. And the thing is, whether Salomon was involved or not, as the president of the Bahraini Football Federation, it's still disgusting that these things happen. And unfortunately, once again, Carter, we're grateful enough and thankful enough we live in the greatest country in the world that we can speak our minds, that we can protest about certain things, that, you know, if we say something against our governments, whether it's city government, state government, a county government, and the country itself, that we do have the ability to speak our minds. And I think we should be grateful that this has been going on.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think the bottom line is that FIFA will be more open and reformed in some sense after this process. Maybe not as reformed as it used to be, not as reformed as we hoped it would be when this process started, when the DOJ indictments started and Comey and Loretta Lynch gave their press conferences. But we will be in a better place now than we were last May.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's go ahead and discuss some of these things. I mean, excuse me, you know, Infantino has decided to dissolve, or FIFA might have already done this, dissolve their executive committee of an executive, I guess, a forum or a group, that all these things will not be done in silence or in a cloud darkened room anymore. We're not going to have that those lights descending from the ceiling to the tables to say this is what goes on with the executive committee. So I think that's a great move. I think that's a wonderful move that Infantino has done. And I believe that they're on their way doing, you know, starting off on the right foot. Now, the one thing I will say this, Kardik, is this, and this is an article from BN Sports. The title is, Infantino says Russia and Qatar must deliver in 2018 and 2022, meaning, while I don't think Russia was ever going to lose the World Cup in 2018, but, you know, I am a little bit disappointed that Qatar will remain hosts for 2022 because the way that they've earned their World Cup was illegal in my book, and I believe they should be stripped of it because of the illegal way that they got it.
Earned is a very generous word to use to describe how they got to the World Cup. Bought is a more appropriate word, and those allegations certainly exist about Russia as well. you know, I still find it stunning that England got one vote. I mean, just think about this. In logically, that you would award 14 people would vote for Russia and one person would vote for England. You can't tell me that that's a straight process. You know, regardless of what you think of England, you cannot tell me that Russia is more ready to host the World Cup than England. It's just ridiculous. So, and that U.S. would get 3 votes and Australia would get 1 vote and Japan would get 4 votes and Qatar would get like 9 or 10 on the first ballot. It was crazy. Oh, and then the second ballot for 2018 was Russia 14, Spain 8. Now, that to me is unbelievable. There is no way that World Cup wasn't significantly bought. There was significant vote buying in that World Cup either. This all having been said, he says neither is going to get moved. So I guess that's the story. That's where we are. I think that's the wrong decision, personally. But it is what it is, right?
It is what it is, unfortunately. But the truth of the matter is this. I think there should be a revote at least for 2022. Not saying because the USA was duped. Just to say that, you know, South Korea wanted to host one by themselves. Australia wanted to host one. We wanted to host the second one. We haven't had one since, of course, 1994. So all I can say, Kartik, is this, is that for this 2022, obviously, there should be a revote. Now, let me just say this, Kartik, and I'm going to be clear on record here. I've been clear on record from the start. I'm not against an Arab country hosting a World Cup. I'm not. I want them to host it with the right way and the right means. We all know the temperatures are very brutal in the summertime.
Oh, I'm all for an Arab country hosting the World Cup. I will see that people accuse me of racism with this. I'm Indian, obviously. I'm South Asian, so I have a real problem with Qatar because they kept the people who look like me and have the same names as me and whose families are from the same places my families are from, and basically in slavery. And a lot of them have died building World Cup stadiums. A lot of people from Kerala and Tamil Nadu have died. Building World Cup stadiums. So that's my first point. I said, you know what? Okay, don't give it to the U.S. in 2022. Give it to Morocco, because they were, by all accounts, it looks like Morocco has been cheated out of one or maybe 2 World Cups based on bribery with Germany in 2006 and South Africa in 2010.
That's right.
The Arab world, give it to Morocco. And then they had a couple of African nations taken from them because they wouldn't, you know, because they were the ones who were trying to be safe. And so it got moved to, I can't remember what got moved last time, but they took it away from Morocco. So the point is, there is a country that could host it, Morocco could host it. You could always host it in United Arab Emirates. I'm not in love with that place either, but Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Sharjah, they all have stadiums that could host the World Cup. They have a bit of a rivalry with Qatar, so it would be very... It might cause a lot of political problems if they took it away from Qatar and gave it to UAE. They're rival countries. They don't get along. They're near each other. They're competing even in the West. Qatar by PSG, Abu Dhabi by Manchester City, Dubai is invested in a bunch of teams. So there's rivalries going on already. But they would certainly not be this scandalous. But I guess it's going to be Qatar, so we have to deal with it.
Right, but, you know, they would claim I would be racist, too, because I'm Jewish, but that's another story, but still. But what I'm saying is this, Kartik, is that if there is an Arab country that wants to host a World Cup, like we've already said, we're not against it. We want to see it done in the fairest way. But at the same time, the technology is there to create stadiums with retractable roofs. Here in the United States, obviously, you've got NFL stadiums with retractable roofs, you've got Major League Baseball stadiums with retractable roofs. You have, in England, Wembley has a retractable roof. Not Wembley, excuse me, Wimbledon, I meant, the tennis stadium, the center court.
Yeah.
That has a retractable roof. If they just build new stadiums, Kartik.
Schalke in Germany has a retractable, you know, that Dortmund, number of stadiums even in the Bundesliga, in the bigger leagues in Europe, too.
Yeah. If they would just build stadiums with retractable roofs and, you know, the technology is there, they can hire these companies in the United States to help them or in England or in Germany to come over and help them build these stadiums, that's not an issue for me. It's really simple. Build the stadiums now, and then you put your bid in for the World Cup and you show them, we have retractable roof stadiums. We can close the stadium and we can, you know, the air conditioning can work. Not what Qatar has done. not build open-air stadiums and claim that you can build open-air stadiums with air conditioning or those mechanical clouds that could short-circuit.
Right.
That's all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Advisory.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the one thing I think, you know, we have to say this. If they want to host a World Cup, spend the money to build these new stadiums with retractable roofs and, you know, win the World Cup that way. And then you don't have to worry about the middle of the day, you know, over 130 degrees Fahrenheit, smeltering the players and the pitch and the fans in the stands, you know? I mean, it's as simple as that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you.
But right now, as we're going to finish this up, Kartik, Mr. Infantino is the president of FIFA. And we are already seeing things at the moment that are probably good, maybe one decision or two that are not so good. But at the moment, I think we can definitely say we have an honest man running the house of football.
Yeah, he's a more honest man. I mean, we think he's an honest man, but we certainly prefer him to Sepp Blatter. So, and he carries himself with a dignity, whereas Sepp Blatter didn't. So I'm excited. I think on the whole, this is a very, very positive time, very positive development.
It really is. Kartik, thank you again for your time as always, and I'll talk to you next time.
I will talk to you soon, Daniel. Thank you.
Kartik Krishnire from World Soccer Talk, as we talk about from him, of course, about Gianni Infantino. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, once again, now that he is president, now that he is running FIFA, we have to see what's going to happen down the road. Excuse me. Do I believe that these sweeping changes will happen overnight? No, I don't. No, we have to give Infantino a real fair shot. Running FIFA, we have to continue to at least give them an opportunity to go out there and to just, you know, make these reforms happen and to fix whatever needs to be fixed and then just move on forward. Because once again, we have to make sure that everything is done the right way. We have to make sure that everything is going to be done the correct way. And once that is done, everything should fall into place. Everything else should be fine. Until that happens, and I'm being honest with everybody, and this is how I believe, this is what I think should happen. But once again, this situation coming up, once again, I do believe that we are finally in the right direction, and I do believe that we're finally moving forward, and everything is going well now. The game is healing itself slowly, but surely it will be very soon, very, very soon, to when we get there. Because I'm telling you right now, we got to get these things squared away. And at the same time, we need to have these opportunities come to fix this game that continues to be hurting. That's all you're saying. They need an opportunity to fix it. And right now they're fixing it. And hopefully Gianni Infantino will make this move and we can get FIFA to where it should be. Too much shenanigans has happened under Sepp Blatter's watch. Because while he might have done some good things, sadly, the negatives outweigh the good. And if you have these negatives outweigh the good, then there is a problem that needs to be fixed. And like I've said before, when you talk about these World Cups, I just did not think Russia was going to lose 2018. I think it's already too late to pull it away from them. And even though Gianni Infantino said in this article that was on, I believe in the AP, that it was through the BN Sports, that Qatar is going to keep 2022. Hopefully, that's not the case for the United States. I know they've talked about maybe the United States going for 2026. personally, and once again, I'm only saying this for my own opinion here, if Infantino would do the right thing, is that he would remove Qatar from having this World Cup. Because of the way that they earned it by ill-gotten gains, because Blatter did not want to lose power at FIFA to Mohammed bin Hammam, who was running the Asian Football Confederation at that time. And, of course, he was trying to knock Blatter off illegally as well with those bribes to Caribbean football unions, thanks to Jack Warner. And, you know, Jack still trying to slither himself away from these things, but still. You have to say that these things need to come to fruition. These things need to happen. Hopefully, Qatar will lose that bid. And if there has to be a rebid, let there be a rebid. Let the other countries that were fighting for 2022, let them rebid fair and square, like South Korea by themselves, like Australia, like the United States. Give these nations an opportunity, a true opportunity, to go out there and to perform at the proper level to fight against each other to see who could host 2022. We are already in 2016. I just don't see the World Cup being moved out of Russia. So we'll see what happens. And as I have said already, and it's already been on record, it's been documented by me on record here on this show, on the 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show, I am not opposed to an Arab nation hosting a World Cup. I am not. My concern has always been the summer times down there. And once again, I think they need to build new stadiums, new facilities for these clubs that are playing there. But at the same time, you know, you want to host a World Cup. If you want to host a World Cup, they need to build these new stadiums with retractable roofs. I think it's only fair that if you want to host a World Cup and you want to bring all these people from around the world to your country and you want to be successful at it and good financial success out of it, then you're just going to have to do that sort of thing, because you cannot have professional soccer players, football players, drop dead in the middle of a match because of heat exhaustion. There has to be a better way to host a World Cup than Qatar has done, because basically Qatar, they cannot build a mechanical cloud. They can't even build air conditioning for an outdoor stadium. That is absolutely ludicrous. The only way you're going to have air conditioning in a professional soccer stadium, or at least in a professional sports stadium, is to have a retractable roof. That way you keep everything nice and warm, nice and cool inside. And at the same time, you don't have to worry about the climate on the inside, seeping in from the outside. So, once again, I am against Qatar. I'm against Qatar, however you want to pronounce it, from hosting this World Cup due to the fact of they earned it by ill-gotten gains. That Sepp Blatter had tried to find a way to keep himself in power, to avoid being the world governing body of international football, international soccer. That's all I'm saying. And that's all I've been trying to say. Because I try to be fair and down the middle. I'm not saying I don't believe an Arab country deserves a World Cup. I've never said that at all. If they're going to host one, they're going to have to build new facilities. They have the money. They have the capability of building these new stadiums with retractable roofs. And in my opinion, that's the only way they're going to host a World Cup. Infantino will reconsider. I hope he will reconsider his decision of allowing Qatar to keep their World Cup for 2022. Because if they don't do that, and, you know, I just think it's wrong that a World Cup was won by a country who shouldn't have won it in the first place. When you have the president of FIFA and former president Sepp Blatter finagling his way to try and keep a World Cup, or at least to keep his job, and to just hand over a World Cup straight to the opposition, or shall I say, straight to a country that doesn't deserve it because they didn't earn it. And at the same time, hosting two bids at the same time was also a mistake. Because when you do that, when you're hosting two bids at the same time, and fine, some want to question the way that Russia got it, fine, that's okay. But questioning two countries, or at least really questioning Qatar, to host a World Cup, the way that it happened, the way it all came down, that also needs to be handled. That also needs to be taken care of, because that was absolutely terrible. But now we got a good man at the moment, a good man in Gianni Infantino, who is the president of FIFA. He is the president of FIFA, and he's going to go forward with running this global game from the House of Football in Zurich, Switzerland. And let me also say this. I also want to commend Fox Sports for producing a fantastic coverage of what happened during these presidential elections. Great job of following Sunil Gulati. Great job having on Sam Bradford on, the gentleman from the New York Times who was covering this whole thing. And, you know, you have to say great job all the way around from Fox Sports to get this coverage done the right way. I have been a critical person on Fox Sports. I have been. And I am not, shy to say that I'm not pushing away. I've been very critical of them. I have been. But you know what? They've improved. And I'm glad –